WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas. We'll have the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Silk.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Well, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Dude.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ralph.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or chase my rats.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Who let bus over? I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
Jack
Vice. You want to know why I tried to electrocute you a while back? I wanted to make sure that you never had the pleasure of having a child.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Omega, the be-all and all of our little network, and you are damn lucky I'm here tonight, because there are zombies that need killing. Luckily, Fire Marshal Bill put me in a good mood, so here I am. The one you hear chuckling is Jackie Beist.
Hi, and rock nice with the still the old school music. I see this as a trend going.
Well, it can't be contemporary. It's not our style.
Right.
Speaking of non-contemporary, hi, Tim Stein.
Is he dead?
He finally hates me. He's ignoring me now.
Did he finally, succumb to old age?
No, I didn't. No, you shut that right now, or I'll take you over my knee and administer the spankings.
You wish.
Yeah, you know what? Contemporary music wouldn't be so bad if it didn't suck so much, Omega.
Very, very true.
Yes. So
I love how that phrase is. It wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't bad.
If it didn't suck so much, it would be good, you know, it would be fine to play. That's what I meant, right? It wouldn't be bad to play that if it didn't suck so bad. But it sucks like shit. So, and you can forget that hashtag right now, Jersey Girl, ain't no fucking way. I'll just shoot that down right now. So you can forget it. Hashtag Michael Cole is a moron. Hashtag Jersey Girl likes to sleep with Michael Cole. Okay?
Aww.
You want to play?
That's cold.
You want to play nasty? Yeah, you want to play nasty? I'll play nasty. I play to win. I fight dirty. That's all there is to it. I don't care how I win, as long as I win.
She's probably going to be traumatized now. I think you've just successfully turned her into a lesbian.
Well, she's like, she said she was kidding, and now she's crying. So, oh well. Life's a bitch. So is my ex-wife. Let's move on. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Congratulations to Philadelphia's Flyers shutting down the Pittsburgh Penguins in six games to move on to round two. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens if they actually face a team with a goaltender. That one was for Sir Rock and the producer who lives in Philadelphia and happens to be a member of the NHL Orange Crush. Hello? Hello? McFly? Anybody home?
Yeah, I don't watch hockey, so I don't get it. I'm not allowed to talk about it because I don't know anything about it, remember?
Who told you you weren't allowed to talk about it?
You did!
Really? No, I said you weren't allowed to have it. No, I said you weren't allowed to have an opinion because you don't watch it. There's a difference. Or at least that's what I meant. Pay attention to what I mean instead of what I say. Just
okay.
Saying. There you go. And of course, Omega living in the flaccid penis state with two hockey teams called Panthers and Lightning. Well, he still hasn't experienced the NHL down there either, so.
Well, this is Florida. We banned ice about 20 years ago.
Yeah, the only time you ever see ice is in your drink, right?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, Cuba Libre?
What?
Cuba Libre.
Cuba Libre.
Yeah,
I Cuba prefer Griffins.
Griffins?
What? Well, as long as we're talking makeup words, what the hell are you saying?
Cuba Libre. It's a drink.
Me no speaky Canadianese.
That ain't Canadianese, genius.
I don't speak alcohol either.
Yeah, I don't speak Spanish or whatever. Move on.
You're the one staying on this.
Yeah, I'm stalling because I don't know of anything of note that happened this week in professional wrestling. Jackie, what are some of the high points for you this past week?
Some of the high points for me, I got to kind of agree, there wasn't a whole lot. Some small stuff. We had two guys get bumped from NXT up to the main roster, Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, which was cool. It would have been better if they would have had something interesting to say besides acting like just complete and total children. Kane beat up a whole lot of people. That was pretty cool. I think that's about it.
All right. What about you, Omega?
I continue to be really into Ron Killings right now. R-Truth of Sherlock Holmes is just probably my favorite part of Raw this week.
He's got some good comedy skits going on lately, hasn't he?
The man knows how to be a lunatic.
Well, that's because he keeps having little Jimmy tag along with him all the time. I'm not too certain about little Jimmy. I think little Jimmy's a bad influence.
You know how those kids up the street are.
There you go. Well, did you guys catch SmackDown this past Friday night?
I did. As a matter of fact, I just finished watching it again about 2 hours ago to refresh my memory for my weekly article for Phil Strump. So I just watched it.
Okay. Now, I'm sure if Mace was here, he'd probably rant on AJ versus Natalya.
Yeah, that was pretty core right there. And then if anybody follows Natty, you saw the picture of her face on Twitter. Her face is all fucked up.
Well, yeah, it's wonder what you can do with makeup and Photoshop.
Way to be a buzzkill, Tim.
I know. I can't help it. I'm just pissed off at how they're using probably one of, if not the best, female wrestler on their goddamn rosters to get over a failed romance storyline between AJ and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I would argue maybe one of the best female wrestlers on the planet. And she's being buried for absolutely no good reason. And I agree with you. It's unfortunate. I mean, I kind of want to say at least she's not farting anymore.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, okay, my son passes enough gas for five people. We don't need her doing it.
Oh, God.
He's 12 years
like
old.
Father,
what do you
like
expect?
Son?
No. Absolutely not. I don't even fart in private, for Christ's sakes. It's so, like, that's just not, that's uncouth.
Okay.
So, but Omega, you know what I'm talking about, being absolutely choked about how they're using Natty, hey?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's just kind of strange for me to talk about Natty Neidhart and not get shot on for being a Canadian. I'm not used to this.
Well, she's a good Canadian.
This is weird. Well, it doesn't matter if she's good or not. Brett was a good Canadian. I'm just not used to not getting shots taken at me.
That's the thing. I have no problem with blonde Canadians. You know,
with those.
Edge, Christian. No. Seriously, like Edge,
no,
Christian,
no.
Jericho, Trish Stratus. You know, Natalya.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. One of those isn't really a blonde. Guess which?
I know which.
There you go. So.
Yeesh.
Yeah. So what happened last week? Any one particular thing that made you stop and say, "Hey, I like that. Was good."
I'm trying to think now.
I'm ashamed to say I don't remember a whole lot of what happened on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, shame on you. And you even talked about it afterwards.
I know. I'm horrible.
Fuck, woman, take notes.
We had it. Well, considering the episode, it was an episode from England, which is always interesting.
Uh-huh.
Rob
takes my notes.
They said on the show where Canada is usually called Bizarro World, and then, you know, they go to England, and it's a whole different galaxy.
Yeah, Bizarro Galaxy. It's the alternate universe is what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty much. The Yes chants, I about died laughing at how loud those got.
There you go, yeah.
Those are louder than they were in Miami.
Kind of impressive, I have to admit that. What about Brock Lesnar's promo, his little recorded thing? How did that not stand out to you guys? Where he just came across as, I'm not a wrestler, I'm here to beat the shit out of John Cena?
It was better than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give him credit. He actually managed to string a whole sentence together.
Well, yeah, but my question there is, now, first off, Raw itself was recorded, but secondly, so was that damn promo. The thing I'm wondering is, how many takes did it take
get
the right take, you know? Yeah. you can work magic when you have a chance to do it over and over again and then cut and edit shit. It's amazing. Look at what Rock's able to do.
Okay, all right. Lesnar, okay, we want you to just read the top line here on the cue card. Just go ahead anytime you're ready.
Brock hits.
No.
Yes.
Top line.
That's
Brock smash.
That's exactly what I was waiting for. I was like, up to this point, I'm like, I'm going to see Paul Heyman in a minute, right? It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And he's not showed up.
According to rumor, Paul Heyman hasn't been helping Brock with his promos. Of course, again, I reiterate, you don't need help when you're able to do 500 takes to get one right.
Yeah, but the whole Brock smash thing, that's basically what I was expecting. I was kind of like, it was, oh my God.
To be fair, Brock has put on some very believable, very natural promos. Back when he was doing the Buddy Angle with Kurt Angle, strangely enough, they were doing very believable little skits.
Oh, well, all right, you got a point there. But how much coaching did Brock need back then? Ahead of time.
Well,
and anything we see backstage technically could be, you know, edited. I mean,
get all you people doubting.
You know, and don't forget, nowadays you can get earpieces small enough to fit in your ear and they're like invisible.
Especially when only one side of your head faces the camera.
Yeah, you know, especially that. I mean, boom, so there you go. Somebody talking, okay, Brock, say this. You suck. Asshole. No, Brock, you suck. Say that. So.
I'm here to destroy Cena, grilled cheese with a side of soup. No, I'm ordering lunch, Brock. Don't repeat that.
Don't repeat this. Yeah. That comes to mind a certain interesting comedy that I saw not too long ago. So, yeah. So, you know, a couple of things, nothing really massive or anything like that. But WWE seems to have a bit of a youth movement afoot. All of the names that they've been bringing up to the roster. You got Ryback, Dean Ambrose, Antonio Cesaro, Darren Young, Titus O'Neil. And Damian Sandow. Now, all of these guys, which one sticks up the most?
I think right now it's kind of hard not to say Ryback.
Ryback is kind of the only thing I see wrong, and I don't know if I'd call it wrong about Ryback, is we've seen this gimmick before. This is early WCW Goldberg.
This is Skipberg.
Yeah, and I was never impressed with Goldberg. And unfortunately for Goldberg, I was never able to get the jobber killer thing out of my head with him. Everything he went on to accomplish, I never gave two shits about. Because to me, he was always the jobber killer. With Darren Young and Damian Sandow, this is their second go-round. It'll be interesting to see if they do any better than they did the last time. I'm very impressed that Young managed to make it back. Because once he got kicked out of the Nexus thing, I thought that was it. I was expecting him to be future endeavor very quickly. So good on him that made it back. Let's see how he does.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad to see them finally escaping NXT. I mean, longest season ever, and this is the redemption season, so they've all been there before.
It's been, what, 10 years now?
Something along that. Yeah, it was... Yeah, they started that season of NXT just after we started this round of the Great Debate.
Oh my
years.
God, that long ago? First, I had hair back then.
I feel sorry for Derek Bateman, who is still the only one that's associated with NXT now, and he still hasn't been declared the winner or anything.
I can't comment on NXT because I don't ever see it. So.
Oh no, I haven't either. I'm on Wikipedia right now.
Oh, okay.
I don't watch it religiously, but I'm a real big fan of a character there named Maxine, so I keep up with it every once in a while just to see how she's doing.
I see.
They did a pretty bad. Someone caught a really bad editing gaffe on them this week too.
Oh.
Yeah. Well.
Elucidate if you would.
She got handcuffed to somebody.
Sounds kinky.
Oh yeah, Maxine's pretty crazy.
I'd have to be able to find the report, and I can't find it quick enough. She got handcuffed to one of the wrestlers who was on NXT, and it was supposed to be one of those things. Okay, she's on the left, he's on the right, kind of thing. And when they do it at ringside, then they go to the back and they're switched around.
Ooh. That would be a continuity error.
It would be a significant continuity error.
They catch those things and call them goofs and post them at IMDb. Internet Movie Database? Anybody?
Yes, we know.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
Just checking. That's all. Just checking.
Yeah, it was Johnny Curtis. Thank you, Rock.
Oh, okay. It was Johnny Curtis. If he said so, I don't know. I'm not paying attention to it, so it doesn't matter.
Well, we have pictures to prove it.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to assume he didn't Photoshop these.
No, I'm about to get yelled at here. Yep, I'm totally about to get yelled at. And apparently, Omega, you're in trouble for some reason.
Oh.
Is he not giving Lindsay dictation as much as he used to?
No. He's just implying that the Great Debate's taking way too long.
I didn't imply that it's taking way too long.
This is
that it has gone on for a very long time.
But not too long?
That's to be decided now, isn't it?
I see. Well, okay. So, yeah, just taking a look at that picture that we got linked. So, interesting. That's really ridiculous, actually. You would expect WWE to be able to not get caught doing stuff like that.
You would think.
I mean, by this point in time, it's understandable.
Here's what I wonder. Okay, either like this was shot beforehand, and then they went and did the handcuff, and then they showed the beginning of the angle later on in the ring, and then just aired the pre-cut footage. Either way, someone had to look at where these two people were, take the handcuffs off, and then put the handcuffs back on, and not realize the one with the tits isn't on the left.
Yeah, hey, somebody screwed up, and that's, funny enough. Yeah.
I guess, at this point, the producer...
Yeah, producers get everything wrong.
Right.
Yeah, I could say something right now, but I'm not gonna.
Oh, if he wants to
start... Well, that was a dig at Rock, but okay.
Yeah, I know you guys were digging at Rock, and he hasn't done anything to piss me off yet tonight, or this week, so... Well, okay, this week, but not tonight.
But seriously, there is a producer who's supposed to be overlooking this stuff.
Uh-huh.
So,
Well, they need a continuity director like movies have, They got somebody who sits there and does nothing but take notes on where every little fucking speck of dust is in that shot.
Right.
So they can duplicate it. So, but yeah. So anyway, this is where I'm about to get in trouble because, Omega, you and I, we can shut up for a couple of minutes here and let Jackie, expound on TNA, announcing Open Fight Night.
Oh, really? My understanding from listening to other people is that they're allowing for an open challenge. They can challenge anyone, and the person on the roster cannot say no. That's about all I know.
Okay, well, here are the details, and this is what Open Fight Night, the concept is. Anyone on the roster can challenge anyone else to fight, and they have to accept the challenge. Now, there will also be something called a gut check segment, where a non-TNA wrestler... Joe Jabroni from Kokomo comes in, working for that little promotion there. And, he gets a chance to earn a TNA contract. They get evaluated by three judges, including Hogan, to decide if they, earn this contract. First off, what do you guys, whether you watch TNA or not, Jackie, what do you guys think of the idea Open Fight Night? Basically, it's what it is any, roster member can come out and issue an open challenge to any other roster member. So Samoa Joe can come out and challenge Kazarian.
I like it. You have an opportunity to put people together that I don't know what the division situation is over there. Maybe two people who normally would not fight each other. It works for me. It gives you an excuse. It gives you an excuse to be creative. Two people who are probably never going to end up in a match, write them something.
There you go. Now, this is apparently a TNA concept. Do you see something like this working in WWE, Jackie?
Sure. I mean, if it would work in TNA, I see no reason why it wouldn't work in WWE. Does this mean that like I could get a job scrubbing the floors and then challenge Kane to a match?
Are you well? If you're scrubbing the floors, are you on the roster?
Damn. No, well, it doesn't take a whole lot to get in the Divas division, so we'll see.
That kind of just answered the question, didn't it? Omega, what do you think about Open Fight Night?
Honestly, I see it as an opportunity to be uncreative.
Really?
While it does allow you to put together people that you wouldn't normally see in a match, it also gives you an excuse not to have to bother writing anything to make it happen.
Okay, well, you brought something up that I was hoping that one of you would get to. It gives you a chance to not to have to bother scripting or writing anything. The two wrestlers are in the ring. And basically, they're booking the match. Sure, behind the scenes, creative is saying, okay, you go out and challenge whoever you want to challenge. Let's just say that it's not, you know, 100% made up behind the scenes. And that they can actually do that. You make up, you know. Is this giving the wrestlers a chance to showcase their abilities to carry on a match and tell a one-match story without... without any writers from Hollywood or anything else, anywhere else?
I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but in TNA's defense...
Uh-oh.
This is one of the few things we've seen from any wrestling organization that, to the best of my knowledge, we've not seen before. I'm one of the first ones to bitch about there not being anything new in professional wrestling at all, and I understand that very little is new anymore. But let's at least let it see how it plays out. If it falls on its face, well, it falls on its face. If not, hoorah for creative thinking.
There you
go.
Here's
where it does work. Here's where it does work. Is if you don't use this for someone like Samoa Joe or Kazarian, you know, named talent. What you use it for are all those matches that basically just fill out the card for the night. And instead of just having, well, these two are going to have a match, who knows why, you know, we just booked it and told them, you don't get paid tonight unless you go out and do this.
There
this gives it
okay.
a chance to have a, you know, a very brief amount of story, of extra little bit of significance to it.
Uh-huh.
But then again, this is pro wrestling. When does someone come out into a ring and challenge somebody and they don't accept? Or at least eventually accept?
Well, does this not harken back to what people have been bitching about in the last couple of months that I've heard here and there on the interwebs? Where it's a case of, I'm sick and tired of it and I don't want to see it. It's from the 70s and the 80s. Some guy comes out and says, I hate this guy. I want to fight him. The other says, you hate me? Well, then I got a problem with you. Let's fight. Essentially. Does this not harken back to all of this stuff that people are bitching and complaining about? Or is this not a new twist in delivering that old idea?
It's a slight twist, and it does have advantages if it is used correctly.
Yeah.
But used incorrectly, it can be a tool of laziness, which is the only concern I would have for it.
Just where the laziness actually shows.
Basically, if this is used to mask just your average match that fills out the card, that's fine. If you're actually going to try and create storylines or book, you know, like a pay-per-view match with, you know, I'm challenging you, you have to accept, you know, now we're going to go off to No Surrender and have a match, then it's nonsense.
Because there's no build-up for it or anything like that. So
you're using it as a means to an end.
Well, can you not see something like this as a great, pardon the word, genesis for a build-up leading to a pay-per-view? Challenger A, or you know, wrestler A comes out to challenge wrestler B, and wrestler B beats wrestler A when he apparently has no right to, which would lead to a feud between the two of them, which would culminate in a major rematch between the two of them at a pay-per-view, say a month later or 2 months later or whatever.
I don't see any problem with kicking off a storyline with it. You know, it's being the being the whole reason they're actually going to have a major match.
Okay, Jackie, thoughts on it? Oops,
vulnerable.
Are great. Gotcha.
That's where it falls vulnerable.
Okay, Jackie.
Possibly a way to introduce new people.
So this is. Okay, this is a great way of potentially introducing the newest members of the roster to the TNA audience, or, you know, like any wrestling organization, let's just say whomever, instead of, you know, TNA specifically. This is a great way to introduce a new roster member and create an instant, an instant rub, if
yeah.
you will,
also,
to use the vernacular.
Also a way to introduce maybe an already established person into a new environment. Like I hear people talk about Samoa Joe, don't have a clue who this person is. But imagine, you talked about non-contracted people coming in and challenging someone. Well, let's say we could use that as a way, somehow Samoa Joe gets signed to WWE, use that, he comes over and wants to challenge Punk, and use that particular outlet to do it.
Okay. Now,
if that happened, you'd watch the roof blow off, because those two had some incredible matches.
Right.
That would be, yeah, well, that would be damn good. Of course, Samoa Joe, at one point in time, for those three of everybody, I'm sure there are three people listening who didn't realize Samoa Joe at one time was in talks with WWE. He was scheduled to do what, the Rikishi gimmick, wasn't he?
He was supposed to be Umaga.
Oh, that's right, Umaga. Well, it was one of those Samoan guys. One of them Samoan guys, yeah. So, I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but yeah, I do have the hockey game on, third period, Los Angeles Kings, Vancouver Canucks tied. And that hockey update was for Kane Kittens. And just so you know, Kane Kittens, I'm cheering for LA, not Vancouver. That should be a double shock to some people. So, anyway, you know, getting back on track here. Would this not be a great way to basically introduce, say, the Bella Twins as TNA Knockouts?
Oh, God.
Let's please not send the Bella Twins to an organization that actually has a halfway respectable women's, you know, women's division.
Or anything with a TV show.
Guys, it was just an example. Don't shoot me. Seriously, don't shoot me. It's just an example.
Right, but that's, you know, this, like, the same. It's a way to, and if you get a case where, like, I know Maria, I think she went to ROH. Maybe just a one-time thing. If someone wants to do something just one time for some reason and doesn't want to stay, hell, let's do it that way.
Okay, let's say ODB comes out and she wants to fight Christopher Daniels. Would this be an okay idea, or would it be just really dumb and going back to the Bush image of the 70s that professional wrestling had back then?
It would work.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it only works for ODB because it fits her character, and, you know, she actually does have the physical talent to do it.
I was expecting you to say balls, but okay. I was almost expecting that.
You didn't expect me to get her anatomy right.
Yeah, well, something along that line. That's not exactly. Quit paraphrasing for me, for Christ's sakes. But how would you guys react if creative was really bad enough? Don't take that as a lead in or anything like that. But if they decided to have a guy challenge one of the knockouts,
there's nothing wrong with that as long as both people are on the same level physically.
Yeah.
I mean, people are people. And, you know, my guess would be that if we put Chyna in the times and she was actually good up against, for example, Omega, despite the fact that Omega is a dude, she would probably be able to pin him, I'm thinking. It's not
okay,
a male-female thing.
Jackie, hold up. You're using Omega as an example for when Chyna was good?
No.
Okay, even when Chyna was not good going up against Omega.
When Chyna was actually a human being. You know.
No. She would not pin me because I'd be too busy running away screaming.
You know what I mean. I mean, there's
worse.
A lot... It
could be worse, and we're not going there.
Yeah, too late. I already did. I already said Lita. I'm sorry, Jackie. Go ahead. Get used to it. It's going to happen.
Yeah. There's still screaming involved.
If she can do it, let her go up against any guy she wants. Seriously.
Okay. Well, you know, it might work. I personally hope that they steer away from the intergender challenges, but it might be an interesting idea as far as introducing somebody to the roster as quote-unquote non-TNA contracted worker with this gut check segment.
Does sound like a wonderful way of incorporating celebrity championship wrestling.
And I think Rock and Sock is doing his best to make you lose your lunch, Omega. Yeah, you see, you can't run away if you're stuck inside a steel cage.
Well, I couldn't pick someone like Trish because then Omega would lay down on purpose.
Yeah, there's something hypocritical with that.
My shoulder came up. You'll have to lay on me longer.
Yeah. There's something. No, there's just something hypocritical with that idea. I'm sorry. That's just not right.
Of what?
Letting Omega and Trish Stratus have a wrestling match. That's just hypocritical.
Jealous?
No. The idea for Omega wouldn't be to try to win or anything like that. He just said, oh, look, my shoulder's up. Lay on top of me longer. That, that just turns into something totally disgusting and perverted and fully apropos for Omega, where Trish Stratus is concerned. That's all. Well, guys, we've been at this for approximately 33 minutes, and I would like to take our first little time out of the evening. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's open phone line night tonight. Feel free to call in. We'd love for you to just shoot the shit with us. Doesn't matter. It's a bit of a free flow tonight. We don't have any really set format. Rock's going to kill me now for saying that. But, all you got to do is pick up the telephone call, 267-297-1397, or if you got Skype, then just Skype Sir Rock, and we'll bring you on the show. And,
always blame the producer.
Absolutely. We'll talk about whatever you feel like talking about. And as a matter of fact, I know there are a couple of independent professional wrestlers tuned in tonight, members of the CNWA, RCW, Monster Pro Wrestling out of Edmonton, also Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. If you guys are listening, and I know you are, I dare for you to call in. We'll do an impromptu interview. What the hell? We'll be back right after this.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night. Just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
When one advertises The Rack with Jackie and Lindsay, they would tend to rely on cheap jokes about the female mammary glands. I, being someone of class and breeding of kittens, I'm going to challenge myself to go through this whole commercial without making such lowbrow jokes. So here we go. The Rack is a show about two lovely cane kitten-wanting women named Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward, both of whom have recently joined the Wild Talk Radio Network to give the female perspective about the world of professional wrestling. Wait a cotton pick a minute here. Another wrestling show? Don't we have anything else to talk about on this goddamn network? Can't someone around here come up with a fresh, new, and different idea? Seriously, it can't be that hard. I'll come up with one right now. Two geeks get together to interview large bosom ladies at gaming conventions. An already large lady talks to people about her experience getting breast implants. A bosom race of bosom women talk about their taking their bosom ship to the planet bosom. Watermelons, fun bags, busts, milk factories, knockers, jugs, nipples, jubblies, stonking great tits. Well, that challenge was a bust. But that doesn't mean The Rack is on a great show that happens Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. big ass boobies.
Apparently, I get a bad rap for putting Rock down all the time. And well, I guess I should apologize for it. He really is a good guy and does a lot of hard work around here. So Rock, I'm sorry. You are awesome, and I truly mean that. Okay, so how much am I getting paid to say that one? What do you mean this is still recording? Damn. Keep listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
About time this fucker called in.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Oh,
hey, fucker. And fuck you. And fuck you. Hold on, let's count them up. It's Rock, it's one. Fuck you. Will, that's two. Fuck you. Tim, fuck you. Omega, fuck you. Lindsay, fuck you. Jackie, fuck you. And Subway, fuck you.
Really fucked. Can I now have our kittens and give one to Jackie, please?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever.
At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck Rock. Fuck you.
It's basically descended into like a circular roast.
Yeah, it's just another jerk-off podcast.
Like all of a sudden it popped up and here's the whole gang and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega as he is... One told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Kim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
You know it's kinda hard to. I don't want to start drinking yet, I like the song. And no, I'm not going to sing along with it. No fucking way any more of those. But welcome back to WTR's and the Night Rush Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, everybody. Breaking news for those of you who pay attention to Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. Apparently, Keishi Matsunaga did something stupid on the weekend and separated his shoulder and tore some ligaments. So he's going to be out of action for, until his contract expires.
Wonderful.
Yeah. At which point in time we'll review the contract, and seeing as he's been inactive between now and when it expires, he might have to be re-signed at a lower fee.
Hmm.
I'm saying that because his interpreter's tuned in, and I just want to see what kind of reaction I'm going to want to get.
Oh, God.
That's hilarious. So, yeah, no, in all seriousness, Keishi Matsunaga separating his shoulder and tearing ligaments. I hope he heals up. It gets better, and Mr. Interpreter, tell Matsunaga no worries. When he's all healed up enough that he can get back into the ring again, we'll do everything we can to make sure that it gets redislocated. No trouble at all. What? What? I don't know. It's just...
Remind me to never work for Tim.
Why, are you a wrestler?
In any form, remind me to never work for you.
Actually, I'm pretty easygoing guy. I could get, you know... I'm easy to get along with. All you gotta do is do your job and, I'll leave you alone. That's all.
I'm kind of wanting to talk to some of the female members of your roster to see, you know, what the requirements were there to work for you. Like, was there a necessary breast exam before you would sign them? You know, something like that.
Oh, no, Jackie, it's not necessary, but, it's available upon request, so I'll just, make a notation for when you come to Calgary.
Here.
That you did make mention of it.
Last time I saw the sign up said bring chapstick.
Bring All right, Omega, enough out of you, Adam.
Can we get one of Tim's female competitors to call in, please?
I don't think that any of them are going to bother calling in because they're too busy training. But I know one guy who's not training. He's too busy paying attention to the show. That would be the color commentator for the Canadian All-Pro Wrestling DVDs. Hello to Kyle Driver. Everybody say hi to Kyle Driver. His real name is Kyle Morey, and you can find him on Facebook, Kyle Morey, M-O-R-I. And, so he sits beside me and does the color commentary for the DVDs that we put together for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. I think he should call in and talk wrestling with us. What do you guys think?
Sure.
I think his name makes me hungry for squid.
Calamari? Why would name make you hungry for squid?
I haven't had calamari in years.
I didn't say calamari. I said Kyle Morey. Oh, I get it. I see what you did there. What do you think? Too obvious? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, well.
There you go. Well, let's get back into this here. We got something. Omega, you're going to hate this.
Great. Let's leave it done now.
No. You're not going to hate it that bad. It's tune time because we're about to dive into the WTR Roundtable.
This will be the roundtable. Fancy dancing roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. It's the first hour.
Seriously, we've got to do an extended remix version of that one.
No, we don't.
Oh, hell yeah, we do. We can... We can add a drum beat to it and, the whole bit, Take the, from Queens, We Will Rock You and just, remix that and then overlay it and do some dubs and beats and stuff. Hey, it'd be a worldwide sensation, Omega. We could release it on YouTube.
No.
Oh,
no, you couldn't.
Why not? It would be fun.
I will walk.
Oh, come on. You're too lazy to go walking anywhere.
And you're too old to do it.
Oh, I walk all day for a living. Don't you even think about starting. I may be 46, but I like 36, and I act like I'm 18.
This is why it's taken us so long to do it, to get everything taken care of with the roundtable.
Omega, you see how she said that, right?
It's not the roundtable that's taken so long.
Oh, sorry. That's what I get.
Not over this.
I didn't think at the same time.
Well, you got to remember, I have an unfinished master's thesis in procrastination. So, but anyway, that being said, here's your roundtable topic and question for this evening. It's the value of the championship title. Would a wrestler holding a world championship for an entire year in wrestling work today?
No.
Before we go any further, we have a caller. Hey, who's this calling in?
Tim.
Oh my God, I recognize that voice. Would that be the one and only? Is that the one and only Kyle Morey?
Yes.
What's happening tonight, Mr. Kyle Morey?
Not a whole lot. Just studying for finals. Listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. That's about it.
Awesome. Like you do all the time. You're always studying for finals, and you're always listening to us when you do it. Do you ever get distracted?
Well, yeah. I'm just an average person. I get distracted all the time.
There you go. You actually happen to know Keishi Matsunaga fairly well. I do believe that your dad is able to talk to him because your dad speaks Japanese and shit like that. What exactly happened? Do you know? Have you talked to him about that? What?
I talked to him after he got home from the hospital earlier this morning. And I guess he separated his shoulder. He was in a match with Kato and Bone Crusher up in Edmonton for the RCW show.
Uh-huh.
And he went to hit a drop kick on Bone Crusher and just kind of landed right on his shoulder and popped it out. I'm not really sure how or why. He just turned funny off a kick and pretty much, landed right on it. Said he heard or felt a pop or something like that. And so he ended up going to the hospital and they said he separated his shoulder. So he was going to be out for a while.
Damn, that kind of sucks. Yeah, send him my best wishes for a speedy recovery next time you talk to him. But how bad really is the injury?
Well, he's got limited movement in his arm from what he said.
Yeah.
It's not like it kind of separated where the clavicle kind of touches the shoulder bone. And that bit of the clavicle, on that far end is actually kind of there's a nice bump on top of his shoulder, he was saying.
Yeah.
So it's actually separated quite a bit.
Ooh.
Yeah, he said he tried to go to sleep for a couple hours, and when he got up, he was in a lot of pain. But as long as he doesn't move it, it doesn't hurt.
Well, tell him to keep it immobilized and take all the drugs he can, just so long as they're not addictive.
Yeah, well, I think they told him just to stick to ibuprofen, so he should be all right.
Yeah, because I heard
that's addictive.
No, not very addicting, no. But I've heard a rumor that there's going to be a pee test being instituted in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. What is your opinion on drug testing in professional wrestling, Kyle?
What kind of drugs are we talking about, Tim? All drugs in general, or?
Yeah, all drugs in general. Like, you test them for dope, and, look, this guy's on drugs.
Well, from what I understand, they do that up at the WWE, and, I mean, you know, guys get suspended and stuff, so anybody on the lower end, I guess it's a good idea to, you know, practice staying clean now, so anyone with dreams of going to the WWE might as well practice it now, because when they get up there, it's kind of hard to change your habits, whereas if you already practice habits of being clean, you don't have a problem.
Yeah, well, you hang around indie wrestlers here and there.
I do.
What about performance-enhancing drugs on the independent circuit?
I mean, obviously, they're, you know, it's not as strictly outlawed in the indie circuit, but, I mean, you know, you do all that stuff, everybody, you know, is going to use it to try and get that advantage to get up to the show, and then all of a sudden they have to stop. Well, then I would assume, I've never used performance-enhancing drugs, so I don't really know, but I would assume that once you stop using them, your performance kind of goes back to being crap, or, you know, less than what you're at using the performance enhancements, so, you know, that would kind of hinder your performance and kind of make you look bad in the eyes of the brass, in my opinion.
Well, that's pretty interesting insight. In all of your time spent around independent wrestling, I know that you catch, of course, naturally, you catch Canadian All-Pro Wrestling shows, but you also catch stuff like RCW and stuff like that. What are some of the high points as somebody who pays attention to the indie scene for you?
The nice thing about the indie scene, I almost compare it to going to, you know, like a concert at a smaller venue. It's really intimate setting. You work a lot with the crowd. Obviously there's something to be said by working in front of like thousands of people, but at the same time, when you work in halls and stuff with crowds of, you know, 50 to 200 people, it's a lot more intimate. It's a lot more close range. You have to do a lot more work to get the crowd, you know, behind you if you're a face, or, you know, there's a whole lot of interaction with the crowd there, and I think that's really key for the atmosphere of indie wrestling. I think it that makes or breaks a show. If you can't get the crowd into the show in a small venue, then you really need to step up your game.
Okay, I just have to interrupt, King Kittens. This one's for you, Kyle Morey. I don't know if you're paying attention to hockey or not, but in overtime, the LA Kings have just eliminated the Vancouver Canucks 2-1.
Oh, that should send Facebook asunder.
That's going to just blow up Facebook. Hey, look at the bright side. Vancouver doesn't get lit on fire this year.
Well, you never know. They could be rioting right now as we speak.
So one of the reasons why I have a bit of a vested interest in Los Angeles is, of course, of being coached by Daryl Sutter, who used to be in charge here in Calgary for the Flames. So
yes, he was.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you think I'm all upset that Vancouver got eliminated, you guys don't know me very well.
True to form.
I'm happy because that just put me up way up in the playoff pool that I'm involved in. It was a three-way tie as of this morning. As of right now, I do believe I have jumped into the lead.
Oh, nice.
Yay. I want to win again.
Gambling.
Yeah. Gambling's fun if you win.
Yeah, most of the time you don't, though.
There you go. So we were talking earlier, Kyle, about TNA's open fight and the gut check segment. What do you think about these ideas?
I really like the gut check thing, personally.
Yeah.
I think it'll give a lot of, you know, indie guys a chance to get their names out there, at least to mainstream watchers who maybe aren't so familiar with the indie scene.
Yeah.
Get some exposure, and, you know, that'll probably help the indie scene too. If they, you know, give guys shots on network channels, and then, you know, guys like them, it'll be like, oh, maybe I'll check out this indie stuff and watch some YouTube videos, and then it'll give the indie scene a lot more exposure.
Okay.
The the open fight challenge, like you guys are saying, you know, it's a good way to put together matches that don't need storyline build up.
Yeah.
You know, it might give chances for them to put guys together that they haven't yet just because of, you know, one thing or another, storylines, and they can just kind of put them together on the fly just to see how people work together.
Yeah.
But also as a downfall, you know, there's really no storyline there either. I mean, obviously, you know, you'll have the stories in the main part, and then you do the open fight night, and it kind of gets in the way of the storylines that they're building.
Yeah.
So that could be a problem, too.
Okay. Well, back down from TNA and going to the indie scene, do you think that something like an open challenge would work on the indie circuit, like in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling or RCW or Monster Pro or any of those promotions?
Yeah, you could probably have... I mean, technically, they kind of do that already on the indie scene. You know, you get anybody trying to, you know, break into the business through the indie scene, they kind of already do gut check challenges. You know, you bring them in for a show, and if they do good, well, they stay, and if they don't, then you send them packing. So I guess technically they're really already doing it on the indie scene. So I don't know. That's pretty much my opinion on that.
Yeah. One last question. Do you think it would work better in the indie scene, or will it wind up working better in TNA?
I think they would both work and not work for different reasons.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, in the indie scene, it gives guys a chance to, you know, who've trained and are looking for, you know, a company to break into to get some experience and exposure. It's good for that. Obviously, when you get higher up into, you know, network companies like TNA and stuff, it's a good way to, I don't know, get exposure more to the audiences as opposed to, you know, bookers and other wrestlers just to see who you are and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, for a downfall, I don't see too many downfalls doing it on the indie scene. I mean, you know, if a guy's going to give you a shot, regardless of whether you're, you know, good or not, I mean, if you're good, they'll keep you around. If you're not, well, you know, you can always ask them for constructive criticism on what you can do better, how you can improve your style. So I think the gut check thing on the indie scene is really good to help develop talent and, you know, find talent. And then as far as the network concern, it's good for getting exposure to wrestlers who may not have a name for themselves. And it also gives the viewers kind of like some fresh faces and maybe some new matchups to look at. So I don't really see a whole lot of downfalls to using the gut check.
Interesting. Definitely interesting points of view there. Before we let you go, Kyle, Jackie, Omega, you got anything you want to bring up for Mr. Kyle Mori?
Not really. Just, you know what? Tell Keishi Gambate for me.
I will, for sure.
All right, there you go.
I'll have to ask my dad what that means, but I'll make sure I pass that along.
And there you go. I'm sure Omega could probably tell you, but it would take too long. That being said, hey, Kyle Mori, thanks for calling in. Kyle Mori, the killer commentator.
I do kill the commentary, but in a bad way.
The killer commentary kid for Canadian All Pro Wrestling. Everybody. That was
right,
Kyle Mori. Kyle, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. Do it more often.
Yeah, I'll do that. I should have some free time. School's coming to an end, so.
Yeah, I heard that. You and I should talk marketing sometime tomorrow. I'll get in touch with you.
All righty.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
See ya.
And calling in, everybody. It was just that easy. He got on Skype, and he Skyped Sir Rockin'. That's all you got to do. You can come on, and like I said, basically, it's open phone line. Anything you want to talk about tonight, if you don't have Skype, don't worry about trying to download it and stuff like that. Just pick up your home phone or your cell phone and call 267-297-1397. We'll bring you on just like we did with Kyle. But right now, everybody, it is the second hour of the show that we are basically getting into. And because it's the second hour of the show, I think it's time for Roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Nancy Dancing Roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
That was Rock's idea, Omega.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you got to put that one on the producer.
Yeah, that's Rock's idea. And the whole thing was because you're bitching about being in the first hour.
I'm so glad I don't keep a loaded gun in my room.
Well, you wouldn't be planning on using it on yourself or something silly, would you? Because I don't.
No, but I'd be hoping it could reach Canada right now.
Well, why would you shoot me? He's in Philadelphia. It wasn't my
idea.
I
still blame you. I blamed him for too much this episode.
Screw that. Blame him for anything you want. Anyway, there you go. Would a wrestler holding a world championship for an entire year work today in professional wrestling, Jackie?
No. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying they wouldn't do it. Because you can't get someone to keep a title for a month anymore. I mean, I don't know if it's just one of those things where it's just because I hang around people who basically share my opinion of professional wrestling. I don't hear too many opposing opinions, but someone told the WWE that their fans have no attention span.
Yeah.
And so Show did not even hold the world heavyweight title for a minute when Daniel Bryan cashed in the Money in the Bank on him.
Yeah.
So if someone can't even hold a title for a minute in the WWE, I doubt anyone will be holding a title for 365 days.
Okay. Omega, what do you think?
No. You wouldn't get it to work these days. If only because you are dealing with an audience that is very much ADD at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard these days because you're competing with the internet. At any time someone loses interest in you, they've got 100 million different entertainment options available to them.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is one of those 100 million, it's rough to hold someone's attention for that long.
Okay.
If you leave a product static like that, you leave your world championship on the same guy for an entire year. It gets tiring.
Okay.
Especially,
go ahead.
Especially these days when you have two shows a week plus a third if it's a pay-per-view week, you've got so much exposure on these guys and so many more opportunities to see them, it's unrealistic to see them hold on to a belt for that long.
Okay.
Raise like a flag or something when I'm done talking or...
Well, no, I was just about to ask a follow-up question when you said that. it's your pauses that throw everything off. Like, you talk, you pause, then you start talking again. I'm just saying.
You with your breathing, Omega.
Yeah, quit breathing.
Damn it.
It's called he's thinking. Come on, quit picking on him. But where was I going with that? Oh, can you, either one of you name the last champion in WWE? To hold a championship title for a year.
No.
I want to say it was Savage.
Really? Now, I said championship title. I didn't say the world heavyweight or the WWE title. Just
any championship.
Any championship in WWE.
All I can remember is the honk-o-meter didn't fill up.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember now. Because usually when that happens in WWE these days, it's because it's a championship they forgot about. So I'm trying to remember who held the tag team or women's belt.
Go ahead.
I think that's possibly one reason what Omega just said as to why they can't do it, because if you look at it, there's one division in the WWE. The women's division gets nothing. The tag team division gets nothing. There's the singles, and that's really about it. So when you're limited in what you can show people, because you just don't want to fucking make an effort to have a tag team division. To use underutilized people. Like, Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel were a great tag team. They broke them up into singles competitors, and now they both suck.
Uh-huh.
It's like, why didn't you just leave them the way they were? They were good. Why did you have to tear up the tag team division? Why can we not have... We know we haven't seen Karma to this point because of what happened to her. But up to that point, why didn't we sign someone like her sooner? Why couldn't we have that match already? Because they don't want to have anything good. They just, for some reason, they're scared to do anything. And when one division is all you have, he's right. You can't keep something like that stagnant for too long.
Okay. Who, in your opinion, was the last person to make the U.S. title interesting?
Santino.
Okay. How did he make that interesting?
Because he's an interesting character. He's fun to watch.
Okay, so it was the character and not the fact that he had the title.
Right.
Okay, so in that case, the title was a prop, and it didn't mean sweet tweet.
Basically.
What about JBL holding? Yeah, go ahead.
Zack Ryder, he coveted that thing. He dreamt about it at night. It wasn't the world title he was interested in. It was the U.S. one. Hang on, I'm taking a breath. And because of that, it added a lot more importance to the belt, because when you got someone that popular going after a belt that underutilized, suddenly it seems a lot more precious. I'm done.
Well, thanks for that warning. What about JBL holding the U.S. title? How long did he hold that for, kids?
God.
U.S. title. I'm trying to remember if it was the U.S. title or the Undisputed title he held for 10 months that he liked to talk about.
Yeah,
so much.
I didn't think it was the U.S. title. Did they even have a U.S. title back then?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
From WCW.
They have so many belts, I hardly remember. I don't even remember when they dropped the European title. I have a real hard time keeping up with all the titles. He held one title for a long time. I don't remember which one it was. And you just don't see that anymore. It's too much thought, too much, you know, to actually have to manage more than one division. It's just too hard.
I'm just answering Rock here. There we go.
You're answering him wrong.
There you go. Yeah, I'm giving him wrong answers to a question he asked. And, you know, the relevance of the U.S. title, he's proving to me, must not be all that high, at least at this point in time anymore, because...
It is.
Who holds it currently?
Santino.
Santino Marella, there you go. And he doesn't have the lisp.
I don't think he has a lisp.
Yeah, he's not Santino.
Santino, that's fine. And, yeah, I brought this up, and I made mention to Rock on Monday to mention it to you, Jackie, during the post-show. Could we please do something to get Cole to stop calling him Santina?
Find him and bring him to me. I will kick him in the balls for you.
Oh, hashtag Michael Cole is a moron!
Santina's his sister, duh.
Exactly. It's his, like, what, twin sister or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Santina competed for, like, in the Women's Battle Royal for the belt. For the women's belt. For the women's title, not the Divas title. Right? Is that right, or is that wrong?
You're asking me to remember a period in time where Santina wore a dress.
I'm pretty sure Omega's tried to block that.
And you can tell we're doing everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen. So, it's just not possible to give a title belt to a wrestler and have the wrestler hold it for a whole year anymore. Basically blaming it on what you characterized as ADD.
Well, to be fair, it's mostly the world title you can't do that with. Because at the top of your company, you would expect it to be more competitive. You would expect everyone on the top card to essentially be on par, just having certain advantages or disadvantages that particular night. Whereas in the mid card, yeah. You could have someone hold it for an entire year, and it would elevate the value as it became about who could possibly take the belt away from this man.
How long did Cody have the Intercontinental title?
Oh, Christ, what, 4 or 5 months?
Right, and then, well, obviously that was broken when Show took it from him. So, yeah. You know, we were talking about who the hell's going to take the Intercontinental title off Show, so that'll be interesting. I doubt he'll have it for a year. They'll move him on to something else by then. But it'll be interesting to see how long, you know, who is it going to be that's going to take that title off of him.
Personally, I've got a problem with Show holding the Intercontinental title unless it is actually part of a storyline we're in the middle of between Show and Cody winds up winning it back at the next pay-per-view or even the pay-per-view after that. But I don't see Show as the, the end of that storyline. Show holding the title. That wasn't the blow-off. And we're seeing that on SmackDown, that obviously it wasn't the blow-off, correct?
Well, I think putting the Intercontinental title on Show was more about kind of helping submit him. I mean, he was the Intercontinental title was the only thing he hadn't held to put him over as a Triple Crown winner is the tournament. There's so many of those terms I don't even remember anymore. But, yeah, I mean... I think it was worth it just for that. I think he deserved that accolade. And winning the Intercontinental title was one way to go about it. Cody Rhodes has a lot more time than Show does in the business to do other things and hold that title longer.
Okay. Now, it's before, definitely before your time, guys, and it's, believe it or not, before my time, too. But there was a time when wrestlers would hold the world championship for not just 1 year or two, but for the better part of a decade. Don Morocco, a perfect example of that in the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. How were they able to get away with it back then, but they can't do it now?
Fewer events, fewer exposure. You didn't have to tell someone how long they've been holding the belts. And at the time, your model was boxing, where your champion did hold the belt for ridiculous lengths of time.
Okay.
God, before your time, Tim, what was that, in a Jurassic?
I'm going to, okay, you can cut with the jokes right now because you're in trouble. You're already in trouble.
Everyone on this network is in a constant state of trouble.
That's it. You're in deep shit. That's all there is to it.
Leave it open for me like that, then. God.
Yeah, and this network, there are three levels. There's trouble, deep shit, and oh fuck.
Oh, speaking about oh fuck, guess who I saw at the store today when I was at work?
Lita.
No, Kofi Kingston.
Really?
I forgot all about that. Yeah, Kofi Kingston was at the No Frills in Calgary shopping.
Aren't they supposed to be in Detroit tomorrow on their way back from overseas?
Omega, do you want to explain it to her?
Yeah, someone please explain it to me.
Obviously, you don't get it. Yeah, Omega, I dare you to try to explain it to her.
I don't know where it is, so if these two cities are close to each other, that would explain it.
Yeah, Calgary and Detroit are about 2,500 miles apart. Omega, you're not even going to try to explain what I'm talking about?
Honestly, I have no idea what you're talking
about.
No
idea?
No idea.
Okay, it wasn't really Kofi Kingston. It was just his doppelganger.
Was it that close, or was he just trying to, like, score something for Evan Bourne?
No, I'm telling you, like, the guy looked, he was a dead ringer for Kofi Kingston. And I'm trying to load, I actually took a picture with my camera phone. And I've been trying to load the damn picture into the computer, but it's not reading the card reader. So I was going to send it to Rock so he could post it on the JTV video feed. But the damn thing's not working. So I'll try to get to that at some point in time. But, yeah, the guy, like, he, absolute dead ringer. He could have been Kofi Kingston. I just thought I'd share. No big deal. So basically, it's the feeling or the sensation of immediacy. It's got to be the right now moment. Social media has a lot to do with it. The fact that house shows are not what they used to be 20 years ago, where TV was used to promote the house show, and that was the real ticket. If you wanted to see the title change hands, you went to the house show.
Pretty much. I don't remember the last time I saw a title change hands at a house show. I mean, honestly, the last time I think it happened was with the tag team title, when EFCO and Primo took it.
Oh, alrighty then. So, does this diminish your championship titles even further and make them more of a prop than the be-all, end-all?
The what?
What do you mean, the what? I said, does this make your title more of just a prop than something to strive for? More of a device than a means, like the end to the means?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, unfortunately it does, especially in WWE. Since Sheamus won a belt at WrestleMania, I've not seen the WWE give us one or two instances that says that it matters at all. Sheamus has been on TV, but it's had nothing to do with his title. I mean, hell, this week he was in a six-man tag match. Didn't have shit to do with that title.
All right. Well, I think we've basically beat this topic to death, don't you?
Pretty much.
Yes, the answer to that would be, yes, Tim, let's move on. That being said, I'm going to stop feeding you lines you're supposed to say and tell everybody it's time for our second break of the evening. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got a whole bunch more, and we've only got 43 minutes to fit everything in. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Yeah, I know I'm going to be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I heaver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's heavering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be the man who walks 1,000 miles then falls out at your door. And I'm watching. I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. When the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, oh, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you.
to you.
Hey, man. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone? Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ told me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up, because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Take the bass line out. Uh-huh. Jiggle. Uh-huh.
Bounce.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Let it bump. Bump.
From standing on the corners bopping to driving some of the hottest cars New Yorkers ever seen, for dropping some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard, from the dope spot with the smoke block singing the murder scene. You know me well from nightmares of a lonely cell. My only hell was since when y'all niggas know me to fail.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Bear with me just for a couple seconds here while I do something. That will be the victory ice cold carbonated refreshment that I shall be drinking to salute
Canada's other team, west of or east of British Columbia, the Los Angeles Kings.
Ah, that's good.
What?
That's gross.
It's just me sipping on the wobbly pop.
I hope so.
Yeah, there we go. What did you say, Omega?
Wobbly pop.
Have you never heard it called wobbly pop?
No.
Really? Boy, are you like living a sheltered life or something? Yeah. When you have a carbonated beverage that happens to be alcoholic in content, some people might call it a beer. Others might call it wobbly pop.
See, again, you're trying alcoholic terminology on me, and it hasn't worked.
Jackie, would it have worked with you?
No. No, I don't drink either, so.
Oh my God, you two live sheltered damn lives. Have a beer, for crying out loud. Go ahead, have a drink. Join CM Punk at the bar.
Hey, I like being straight edge. It really helps being able to remember where I put shit.
Well, if you keep putting shit in the same place where it belongs, the toilet, then you know where it is. So just remember to flush. Anyway,
I've been educated by a Canadian Jew.
Here we go. I'm going to kick your ass. I am not Jewish. Okay? Okay, for the last fucking time, people, I'm not Jewish. I'm not that extravagant with my money.
This is dollar store beer you're drinking in celebration.
No, it's homemade, bitch.
You put it in the can, too.
Yeah.
We heard the can open.
Yeah, well, didn't you know you can get sealable cans?
Air pressured and everything?
Well, no. You don't add air pressure because it's already carbonated, genius. When you brew it, it brews carbonated. You take it out, you put it in the bottle or the can, then you seal it. It's a little gadget that you put on top of it, and it closes it up.
So once again,
I've now been educated by a Canadian
there
Jew.
There we go. I'm going to kick your ass.
That was
uneducated, dumb American. Anyway, getting back into it, working at a very bad segue that has just totally gone off the rails completely. Chris Jericho recently did an interview on the red carpet at Revolver Golden Gods Awards. Have you guys caught this?
I have.
All right, so he said during the interview his current WWE run will probably finish up prior to SummerSlam because Fozzy has plans to go on tour after releasing some new music. By the end of August, they'll be touring. Is this finally actual honesty from Jericho, or do you think that this might be another swerve?
I've learned to just not believe anything Jericho says.
Okay.
He made a comment, someone made a comment to him about how he was a douchebag because he was going to walk out of the fans again. He was going to leave and do shows with Fozzy. And then Jericho responded back and said, yeah, two shows. And so he was trying to downplay the Fozzy thing to make it sound like he was going to hang around. And now he's saying he's leaving. Jericho likes to fuck with people. He doesn't like to tell the truth. So I've just learned to not listen. And if he goes, he goes. Fuck him. If he stays, good for him.
Omega?
I'm actually more inclined to believe him in this case, since there was no context of WWE. He wasn't talking to wrestling fans. What that was free promotion for his Fozzy stuff, his personal projects. And
yep.
I will, speaking from experience, I will always take the chance, whenever I have, to favor telling the truth about my personal projects, as opposed to the things I'm roped into.
Okay. Now, on that topic, is Jericho doing a good job keeping kayfabe alive, or is it a case of, okay, we've heard too much, enough, we're not impressed, shut up and go do whatever you're doing, wrestle or go tour, whatever?
I'm not sure what you would call it at this point. He's either trolling his wrestling fans, or he is trolling both the Fozzy fans.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't put it past him to be trolling everybody on everything.
Yeah, basically.
I have a point.
Oh, no.
Fuck you, Tim.
No, you brought that on yourself.
No, my point is, he never actually said how long he's going to be gone for.
Yeah, maybe it's two shows, right?
It could be two shows, 2 weeks, a month. He could come right back.
Well, I just don't want August to get here anytime too soon. I'd like to actually enjoy summer for a while, for a change.
What's that like?
I don't know. I haven't had a chance to just enjoy, you know, the fact that it's summer for about 5 years, 6 years now. It sucks. It really does. Makes me want to cry in my beer.
Go cry in your beer, Tim.
But I make myself, and it tastes really good.
So you say.
Because it's free!
Stop
after the ingredients are paid
we
for.
We have our own jokes, thank you, sir.
What? I said it was free after all the ingredients are paid for. Trust me, I don't think there's anybody listening now who would have caught that anyway, so don't worry about it.
I know one person caught that.
All right, maybe one person. Maybe two people, okay? Maybe two people. Whoopty shit. Anyway, moving on. Next topic of discussion is it's TNA Storyline. Hey, Hulk Hogan took to Twitter early Saturday morning. He wanted fan input on this open fight night and crap that's is going on. And, you know, what else is needed in TNA? One fan apparently said that it would be smart if they went live. Hogan replied to the tweet saying that the fans preaching to the choir. He's been beating that drum for over 2 years. Problem is, they don't have enough money.
Because it went over so well when they did it last time.
Well, I think it did go over pretty well. The only problem is, they shouldn't have gone head-to-head against WWE on a Monday night. That
no.
was
yeah,
dumb.
Just saying.
No.
And I'm sure that there are a couple of people who remember the late, great Spud, and I say late because he's usually not on time for stuff. But he did say that it was a dumb idea to go live on Mondays. And I agreed with him wholeheartedly on that after their first live show on Monday head-to-head with WWE.
No, it's trying to fight off a tank by throwing rocks at it.
Yeah, that generally doesn't go over too well for the rock thrower.
Yeah. You know, you would do a lot of improving if you just went live on Thursday nights. That's where SmackDown used to be. You know, there is an audience there. You're just not doing the right thing to catch them. And right now, being able to read your results, you know, sometimes 3 weeks in advance, that takes a lot of wind and interest out of whatever you're doing.
Well, you know, here's Hogan saying, well, it takes a lot of money to go live. How much more money could it bloody take to go live? Instead of taping, you're doing the same damn thing. You just can't redo it, and you're only doing one show at a time.
Satellites.
Wind
well,
up
this
costing
time you got,
less.
Well, now you got satellite trucks. You've got a different working system to actually broadcast it directly from wherever
oh,
the venue
please.
Is.
Please, it's you're broadcast just, by no, satellite not, to begin with.
Doesn't Dixie Carter's father have all this money?
Panda Energy.
Yeah, except they kind of tightened up the purse strings after the last few investments didn't go over so well.
Yeah. All I ever hear about is Dixie Carter's daddy has all this money, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
Dixie's so, daddy.
Yeah, Vincent, Dixie's daddy has a lot of money. Dixie, not so much, because she spent a lot of it on TNA, and it's not panned out the way she wanted to, some of her big
yeah,
ideas.
The night Hulk drove old Dixie down, all the people were singing.
Apparently, you know, one number they said it cost $500,000 for them to actually go out on the road to do shows.
Mm-hmm.
A bit expensive for them to do that, but going live, I could see that happening. But the other thing is, they do a lot of produced backstage segments, so I don't know how that would go, how that would work in a live thing.
Do it like WWE does, pre-tape it and then show it on the big screen right at the right time. I mean, it's not, you know, it ain't rocket surgery.
But it's TNA. Really, Tim? Rocket surgery? Really?
Yeah, I said it. No, I said it. I said that on, guys, I said that on purpose.
No, you didn't.
Okay, that was not a slip up. I actually said rocket surgery on purpose.
What's in that beer you're drinking, Tim?
We're going to make a lateral incision here just below the warhead.
So.
Rocket surgery. Typical Canadian.
Yeah, I read
worldwide.
That, yeah. I see that from Kane Kittens. Of course, the heat's getting to him down in Arizona. And the political climate in that state, too. But that's a topic for a different show.
Yeah, Arizona sucks with politics. No offense, Kane Kittens, but Arizona pretty much sucks.
Something Jackie and I agreed on. Wow.
I was going to ask, how much money do you think they're saving on retakes and extra footage just with firing Scott Steiner?
Oh,
They never did any retakes with Scott Steiner. Have you heard a Scott Steiner promo?
I'm positive that's just taking the best they got.
It's like, okay, Scott Steiner promo, take 95. You know, the way I see it, Okay, cut. How was take number 37? Let's use that one.
It's like an Ultimate Warrior rant, except he actually thinks he knows what he's talking about.
Well, yeah, you see, Warrior actually gets through the entire goddamn thing, even if you don't know what you're talking about.
I love Warrior promos. This is great shit.
So you know what I love? I love hearing Mace do Warrior promos.
I know.
I love a good Scott Steiner promo, which means I love the bad Scott Steiner promos. If he tries to do math in them, it comes out glorious.
I'm thinking we need to have like a Scott Steiner Ultimate Warrior contest for promos, and then we're at it throwing a little Brock Lesnar. Oh my god.
You would have a brand new DVD division. You really would.
Dude, that'd be some of the best wrestling TV in
We already have
Crashing and Burning.
We have Botchamania already.
That's just a whole brand new thing altogether. It really is. Absolutely. I just can't get that out of my brain right now. Scott Steiner fucking up math.
Dude,
thanks, Omega.
If they are working on a promo and they ask Steiner to do math, then they're just asking to lose money on tape and stuff. That's
it. So.
I still say Warrior would win.
There you go. So also,
he knows how to ramble longer. Scott Steiner would just wear out eventually.
Yeah, continuing on, sticking with Hogan's tweets on Saturday, he pretty much wrapped it up as far as fan business requests. You know, how are they going to transition Impact Wrestling beyond the Mania, Attitude Era, the NWO era? You know, not just growing a black beard or switch a title or verbally say they are changing. He's talking about really changing the foundation of putting wrestling in a whole new era.
They have a finger poke of doom in TNA.
There you go, the finger poke doom era, yeah. You know, he, according to Hogan, he came up with the idea and he's going to really flesh it out before he drops the bomb on the Maniacs, brother.
Tim.
What?
Hogan woke up one day and decided, coming soon to TNA, they're gonna wrestle in a six-sided ring. It's gonna be innovative. It's gonna be something new. They've never done it before.
And it's gonna be all Hogan's idea.
It's gonna be all Hogan's idea.
I'd say just about 90% of the stuff Hogan does needs to be flushed. So, yeah.
That's a different kind of flushing, yes.
So look at the other Hulk Hogan ideas since TNA. Letting the Nasty Boys have a pay-per-view match.
Letting the Nasty Boys have any time on TV. Come on. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to trump you, Omega. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. No, that can't be repeated enough.
It's like Nasty Boys. No!
This is the Nasty Boys, like, a good 20 years after their prime, whatever you can... If you can call that a prime.
Yeah, because you cannot have enough goofy, trying to be tough white boys on TV anyway. I've never got the Nasty Boys, even all the way back into the WWE. I was like, a bunch of fat white guys with mullets. Yeah. No.
Oh, shit, yeah. I saw somebody with a mullet today. I think he was from Edmonton.
You see all these
Was
people.
It Kofi Kingston?
No, he was a white dude. He was really tall and had a beer gut. And no, don't imply it was me, because I'm not that tall.
No, and I... Never mind.
Yeah, shut up.
Never mind.
That would probably be the safest thing to do right at this point in time, Rock. Shut up.
But you said...
Never mind, shut up. Just let it go, man. Move on. Okay?
I should never plug my microphone in.
Just move on. Move along. Nothing to see here.
Move on then, Tim.
There he goes. Steve Austin! Can you guys see him do one more match in WWE before he decides he's never going to do anything else or gets too old? Whichever comes first?
Yes.
Okay. So who does he go up against? Who does he fight?
Now, to lead into the story, but this is also my genuine opinion, CM Punk.
Okay.
Aside from the war on the mic they would have, it's just a match that, you know, it's another Rock versus Cena.
Okay. Now, Steve Austin is saying maybe Punk's not the guy to go up against because Punk needs to pick up his intensity.
What?
Omega's flabbergasted. He can't believe it.
BS.
Well,
you know,
okay. Go ahead.
The only reason if he's lacking any intensity is because nobody in the WWE will let them actually wrestle at full speed anymore.
Uh-huh. Well, how about this, Omega? How about that being actually the first shot fired in something that's going to be set up for WrestleMania next year, which would be Steve Austin versus CM Punk?
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Okay. So there's a chance that that is going to wind up being what it is, and Steve Austin is just throwing out the first in what we expect to be a protracted war of words up until the match itself. Yes or no?
I hope so.
Yeah. If not CM Punk, who... Name somebody currently on the roster.
Daniel Bryan?
No.
Against Stone Cold would be cool.
No.
No.
Oh.
No.
Why not? I like to see guys with opposite styles clash.
You know, here's
That's great, but Daniel Bryan would have to be at least 10 inches taller and another 200 pounds heavier.
It's not just that. But with all of Austin's nagging injuries and, you know, the reasons he retired in the first place, I'm pretty sure Daniel Bryan would break him. I mean, just one of those running drop kicks in the corner and something's going to shatter.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know how brittle Austin might actually be. He says that he's all healed up. He's been healed up and he's been in great shape for years now. And he said he's got at least one more match left in him. But according to what he said, that means he would have had several matches that he could have had over the last few years, but he's just been too content with what he's doing lately.
Because of the differences in their on-screen characters, I don't know about a match, but I would love to see at least a verbal feud between Stone Cold and Del Rio. I would like to see these two kind of different characters go at each other.
Del Rio? Omega?
The Aristocrat versus the beer-drinking, low man on the totem pole, so-called. I think that'd be hilarious.
Oh.
The redneck versus the Hispanic.
Well, the Aristocrat. That's what I was thinking, but okay.
Yeah, but nobody will see it that way. They'll see the Texas redneck versus the spick. Pardon? I didn't say that out loud. Apologies. That wasn't... Yeah. I didn't mean it.
Typical Tim.
Hashtag typical Tim.
I'm thinking horrible jokes, too. The difference is, I am not using them.
I'm going to credit Lindsay for this one. Austin versus Ziggler?
No.
Why not?
Not for another 5 years, by which time it'd be too late for Austin.
I don't think Ziggler's 5 years off, but, yeah, I don't see him as seasoned just enough. He really needs to go out on his own, ditch Vicky and Swagger, and actually...
Yeah, part of the problem is... Yeah, part of the problem is he's not over enough to go up against Austin.
Austin is God, though. I mean, there's not a whole lot of people that could go up against Austin.
Well, but, you know, you've got CM Punk. He's the franchise in the making. Not through WWE or Vince, but through the fans.
Which kind of makes me wonder why no one has said Cena yet.
So, why has nobody said Cena?
Well, you said face of the company in the making.
Yeah, well, Cena's not in the making. He is the face of the WWE.
Right, so
this generation's Hulk Hogan. He already did The Rock. We don't need him going up against Stone Cold Steve Austin. Seriously.
Their ring styles wouldn't match.
Yeah, that's just too much of a rehash as well at the same time.
That too, but they're both, typical brawlers, and I don't think they would mesh well.
All that, and I don't think Austin would put up with Cena's stale style. I'm pretty sure it'd be a legitimate mud hole getting stomped in him at some point.
Yeah. All right. Hey, guys, you know there's a WWE pay-per-view coming up, right?
Is there really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Extreme Rules. Have you not heard about this thing?
I've heard about a pay-per-view where it's not so extreme, but go on.
Yeah, apparently this pay-per-view
all the rules are thrown out the window.
No.
I don't believe it myself. I think it's watered down because it's WWE. However, we're going to take a look at the matches currently listed, and we're going to predict
all the matches have no rules and no blood.
Yeah, no rules, no blood.
Except they're given rules, and there still won't be any blood. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, we're going to start off with Falls Count Anywhere. Kane takes on Randy Orton. I'm not even bothering to talk to Jackie. Jackie.
Under normal circumstances, I don't want to have another incident like I had at WrestleMania. Because at this point, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, my immediate thought is they're not going to put Kane over on Randy Orton. But I kind of said the same thing at WrestleMania. I see this feud going on for a little bit longer because I don't know the way Barrett's prepared to come back yet.
Okay.
So I'm thinking Randy Orton, but I was wrong the last time I said that, so we'll see.
There you go, Omega.
I want to say Kane on this one because it feels like that's going to be one of the major contenders for Sheamus next.
Okay. And Mr. Just the Producer, go ahead and throw your 2 cents in.
Orton doesn't lose that often on pay-per-view except for WrestleMania. I still think Kane might actually win this one and move on, as you said, to Sheamus.
That would be awesome. That's what I hope happens.
Won't happen, but it could.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Randy Orton in this one, and the feud continues.
Really? You want this feud? You really want the feud to continue?
I'm just saying
that's going to happen.
Here's a question. If Kane wins and Wade Barrett is not back yet, where does Randy Orton go? If we move Kane onto Sheamus, what does Randy Orton do?
His name is Alberto Del Rio.
Del Rio!
Yeah, that would be interesting. He has just moved to SmackDown, so that would be, I would love to see those two feud.
So that's the first one. Next match, Extreme Rules, Brock Lesnar versus John Cena.
Oh, gee.
I'm going to have to think about this one because,
Really? You have to give this one a lot of thought? Really?
Yeah,
Let's see. It's the returning top Carter versus Superman. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is John Cena's doomsday. There is no way he's walking out of this one.
There you go.
You can't have Brock Lesnar come back and immediately lose to Cena.
Which is interesting that John Cena is not only going to lose, but be pretty much humiliated at 2 pay-per-views in a row.
About time. Serious, it's about time.
It actually might do him good. It might actually do him good, because for years now, the shtick he's been given and his movesets in the WWE, the 5 moves of doom... You know, what reason does he have to change when it's all worked so far? Now, it isn't working.
So, by your logic, Omega, he has to invent a 6th move?
I'm hoping for 7, but I'll make it.
At least get 6, maybe 7.
Yeah, 7's pushing it. We're talking Cena.
But yeah, I'm Brock Lesnar's gonna win.
Okay, Omega's got Brock. I'm assuming that Rock has Brock.
Yes.
Jackie?
Yeah, I'm going with Brock.
There you go. And I'm going to go with Brock, too. And this match knocks John Cena off of TV, away from WWE for a couple of months. And then, you know, he regroups and gets that fire back, the Eye of the Tiger, all that other bullshit. And then we see these guys build up to another feud. When Cena comes back, that culminates in the match at WrestleMania.
John Cena returns when they do the draft.
There you go. Okay.
Which will be never.
World Championship title, 2 out of 3 falls. Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. Omega.
Going with Sheamus on this one.
Okay.
Only because right now they are setting up the heel roster of the WWE, and honestly, Brian seems to be riding really high even without the world title right now.
Uh-huh. Okay. Jackie.
I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan taking it back just because I've not seen the WWE show that they have any indication of doing anything with Sheamus as the World Heavyweight Champion.
Okay. Mr. Producer Dude.
Sheamus.
Sheamus?
Sheamus.
Sheamus? Moose House?
Yes, Sheamus will win.
There you go. Yeah.
Goes on to feud with Kane for the title of Big Red Machine.
There you go. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Sheamus on this one as well. And then, of course, we've got the WWE Championship. It's a Chicago street fight. CM Punk takes on Chris Jericho. Jackie.
Punk is. Yeah, well, if Jericho really is leaving to do whatever it is he's going to do with Fozzy, then, you know, they wouldn't let Brett leave the company with the title, so I doubt they'll let Jericho do it.
Okay, you do realize it's not until August, right? This is only May? Almost.
April.
I'm still sticking with Punk. I'm still sticking with Punk.
Okay, rock, jackass.
You hate that I turned on my microphone, don't you?
Yeah, you're a jackass. Anyway, make your pick, bitch.
This one's actually kind of a pick-em, really. It really is, because on one hand, you see CM Punk, you know, losing in his hometown because they already gave him the victory. But then again, this could be the storyline. Jericho continues to try and get the title and never does, and CM Punk continues to be the best in the world. I'm going to say CM Punk.
All right, Omega.
I just want to know why the hell it's a Chicago street fight other than they're in Chicago.
Because they used Extreme Rules, they used False Count Anywhere. It sells better be calling it a Chicago street fight instead of a no DQ match because everything else is the same goddamn step.
You could still call it a street fight that just happens to be taking place in Chicago.
But it sounds better.
It sounds better, but there should be some kind of reason for it. I mean, if it's a Texas bull rope match, then I expect to see an actual bull rope on there, not just something they dragged out that day from Home Depot.
Okay, Omega, would you be happier if they actually went onto a Chicago street and fought?
I would be happier if, you know, you had weapons in there like deep dish pizzas and Chicago Cubs baseball bats. That's a Chicago street fight to me.
You hear that,
WWE? Not going to happen.
Get that done. Chicago style pizza, Cubs baseball bats. Let's say White
yeah.
Sox, but no one cares about the White
and
Sox.
And the loser is the one who can shut their opponent into Al Capone's vault.
Can they use the body of Steve Bartman as a weapon?
No. That would be stupid.
You don't want to use the body of Steve Bartman? Why? You don't want to cause him physical harm?
I like Steve Martin.
Barton. The one
Barton.
Who, yeah, the one.
Not Martin, he said Barton.
Bartman,
whatever.
Oh, I drove that name out of my head.
That guy, the one who missed the foul ball.
keep reminding me.
Would you want to see that guy used as a weapon?
I want to see that guy used as a torch.
So who would you pick?
Oh, yeah, I have to predict.
Yeah.
Going with Punk.
All right, I'm going to buck the trend and say Jericho.
Why?
Really?
Yep.
You have to know, especially in the anti-bullying era, that he cannot possibly be proven right in all of this.
Well, here's the thing. The great way to prove him wrong is to draw the damn thing out a little bit longer, and Punk can win the goddamn title back in 2 months. Or he could win the title back in the pay-per-view that, quote-unquote, forces Jericho out of WWE. So, you know, Fozzy can tour.
You can't win by DQ, Jersey girl. It's a street fight.
This isn't TNA.
Yeah, it's a street fight, but you're going to be disqualified if you're not careful.
You went onto the street, you're disqualified. There you go.
No, he left the street and went onto a boulevard.
Oh, jeez. Okay, you crossed the Chicago City line. Okay, I'm throwing this out.
You forgot the ballpark, Franks. That's it. You're done. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody?
So that's Extreme Rules, huh? 4 matches.
That's it. Yeah, so far. You know, we've got a little thing going on called the Great Debate, guys.
Do we?
Really? Yeah. It's the debate that never ends, my friend.
It keeps going on and on, my friend.
Somebody started it not knowing what the fuck they were doing.
Oh, God.
And it'll keep going on just because it's the debate that never ends.
And here we go.
The bell has sounded for this week's Great Debate.
For the last few weeks, I come out here and I sit here and listen to you spend your little nursery rhymes about Jabroni Avenue or Know Your Role Boulevard, you better get your ass serious, because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to take his ass to Philadelphia, check right in to the SmackDown Hotel, roll right in to room 316, and burn that son of a bitch to the ground.
You know, the crowd just came from the bathroom. You should have smelled what The Rock was cooking. I ain't faking. You should have smelled what The Rock was baking.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
All right, up we got first The Undertaker versus Mick Foley taking on Tommy Dreamer versus Raven. We've also got WCW taking on NWO going up against Ric Flair versus Sting. We're going to start with that one. We're going to go to Omega, WCW versus NWO taking on Ric Flair versus Sting.
Oh, crap.
Love those reactions.
Ric Flair and Sting was a feud that went so damn long and is some ways still going. It's one of the defining traits of WCW. And then you've got WCW versus NWO, which completely revolutionized the industry. But as historic as that feud is, and as big as it was, as much as it changed, as much of a new audience as it brought in, it also dragged. I mean, when there was like three versions of the NWO, you had to call bullshit, even if you were a fan of it.
But I thought NWO Black and White was the bomb.
God, no, it started to bomb. But you had what? But you had what? You had the, going on at the same time, you had the black and red, and the black and silver, I think it was, and then the black and white, which was like four jobbers with nothing better to do.
And then you had the LWO.
The LWO, too.
BWO.
Wrong company.
Oh, just all the stuff that it spawned. It's interesting.
AWO, BWO, CWO, DWO, F.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where... It's one of those things where, oh, hey, you like Coca-Cola, huh? Here's 2 gallons of it every single day. No, I want a fucking Sprite.
You can't have any.
God damn it. Hey, I'm going to go over to this company called WWF. They got guys in lime green shirts now. They've got Sprite. You know what?
The Sprite Squad.
You know what? I'm going Flair and Sting. If only because as a feud, it felt right from beginning to finish. It didn't have a bad aftertaste at the end.
Alrighty then, Flair and Sting. Jackie.
Well, surprise, surprise, I'm going just the opposite. I'm going NWO versus WCW just because that was one of my... Hush. That was one of my favorites. I have to agree with at least one thing Omega said. It did a lot for wrestling. It brought in a lot of people... that didn't watch before. He's also very right when he says it got old and it kind of got weird when it started splitting off into factions. But when it was good, it was really, 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 really good.
Alrighty then. One each. Hey, Rock, why don't you pick one of them?
No, it's just you three.
Why don't you want to pick one of them? You pick other ones. You're just afraid of a tie.
No, I would break the tie. You're a part of the show. You should be the
one. Well,
there
can't be a tie with only three of us, for Christ's sakes.
Let's see. Who to go with? WCW versus the NWO.
You know the rules. Expand. Tell us why.
It was the feud that revolutionized the business. Simple as that.
Okay. Well, WCW versus NWO is a feud that put WCW in front of WWE. That in itself, against practically everybody, would be enough to have them claim victory. But at the same time, somebody said that it was, like, you know, way too much of a good thing. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But it got to be a little tedious and monotonous after a little while, and I was like, oh my God, that's enough. Let's do something new and fresh, kids. It staled in.
We're going to do this thing called the New Blood. It's the same fucking thing.
Yep. There you go. So,
thinking, yeah, it was great, and it did wonders for WCW ratings-wise and almost put Vince out of business. I would pick him if that had happened, if Vince had actually been put out of business by Turner, than NWO versus WCW. However, Flair versus Sting, Omega, you said it, they're still going. It's a generational thing, decades long. It's a classic rivalry that just hasn't died. Ric Flair versus Sting.
Does that not make us a tie?
Tie? So what do we do?
Tim, what you do now? You made us a tie. See what I said?
Yeah, I know. I did it on purpose.
All right. Chicago Street Fight right now.
All right.
Whoever lives is right.
All
right.
Let's poll the chat room. Chat room, the consensus wins, so...
No pressure.
WCW versus NWO again. Ric Flair versus Sting. So go.
Newsroom 427585 is picking WCW versus NWO. What about you?
What about
Cowboy
you, King Kittens?
And King Kittens is gone, I think.
King Kittens is still there.
Yeah. Oh,
like
I thought
Lindsay.
He said goodnight.
Lindsay's WCW Lindsay. Versus NWO. Thank you, Lindsay.
Lindsay, you disappoint me, chick. Oh my God.
It's men versus women tonight.
No shit.
Is Kane Kittens gone?
I read Kane Kittens said goodnight.
To Jersey Girl.
Oh, to Jersey Girl. Okay.
Pay attention, Chris. He said night, and then he did hashtag
on. Well, I did not. I didn't see Jersey Girl say night, guys, because like it scrolled up.
Right. CC.
Kane Kittens, if you want to vote, hurry up.
Cowboy Chick Lindsay says WCW versus NWO because hashtag she's seen it.
I've seen it.
Just saying. King.
Then what is your vote, my dear? I know you're not leaving yet. What's your vote? WCW versus NWO or Flair and Sting?
Come on, Kane Kittens. What are you... Flair and Sting.
Well, WCW versus NWO still won because the Ustreamer and Lindsay voted for it.
I think that the Ustreamer should be disqualified because the Ustreamer didn't identify... He didn't identify him or herself by name, so I don't think that should count.
Well, we're still in a tie, then.
This is the debate that goes on and on, my friends. It started...
Dude, Ustreamer, please just make a name. I don't care what it is.
Producer power, WCW versus NWO. Move on, now, Tim. Move on.
Ustreamer is Spug.
No, it's not Spug.
Yeah, if it was Spug would pick Flair Sting.
Hashtag WCW versus NWO. When he used the hashtag. Move on.
There we go. Okay, so, yeah. NWO, WCW. Next one, Undertaker versus Mick Foley taking on Tommy Dreamer and Raven. Omega! We're going back to you again. I don't think so.
Fuck you and your fake homemade beer.
Oh, real homemade beer.
He's taking shots at the homemade brew.
He doesn't make it in his bathtub, so it's like Lindsay says, he doesn't get any credit.
I don't care if he makes his own moonshine.
You do not pick on the moonshine. Yes, I'm a Canadian redneck. Woohoo, motherfucker!
It's Undertaker, Mick Foley.
Oh, okay, how come?
Dreamer and Raven had a really good feud going. It was one of ECW's feuds where, especially involving Raven, where it's very psychological and it's very vicious between the two. I don't think you really top Undertaker in the psychology department. And I compare it because it was very similar between the two, between Undertaker and Kane and Undertaker and Mick Foley, where it's Paul Bearer bringing in a new monster to take on his former one. Difference was, Mick Foley, as Mankind, had a way of staying up to Undertaker psychologically, which is something you hadn't seen before then.
Yeah, so, if you think back to the Boiler Room Brawl, as Taker was going into the Boiler Room, he hesitated before he put his hand on the doorknob. I honestly think this is the first time I've ever seen Undertaker act in fear of another human being.
Mankind, not only because he was psychotic, and Mick did a great job portraying that, you know, it's also his legendary resilience. It is a factor of, not only is this guy insane, you cannot stop him. That is two very dangerous things to combine. So, and yeah, I could talk about, well, yeah, he threw him off the Hell in a Cell. Whoopee, we've all seen it a billion times. Yeah, and it is one of the most lasting memories ever. And the fact that the match continued. Again, what the hell does it take to stop Mick Foley?
Alright, I think we got your answer. Okay, Jackie.
I'm also going with Undertaker Mick Foley. The reason is very simple.
That's the one you've seen!
No, I'm not Lindsay. That's Lindsay's thing. There are very few people in the world who I hold in as high or higher esteem than Mick Foley and The Undertaker. Fuck everybody else. No one else matters as much as these two. Foley, Taker, all the way.
All right. This one's a tough one. Omega throws in psychology. Yeah, psychology was great. You said Undertaker hesitating on the doorknob, actually showing, if not outright fear of another living being, well, then absolute concern at the very least. Then you look at Dreamer and Raven, and like the thing stretched over, it crossed boundaries, it crossed that fourth wall, and it crossed the fifth wall, and it came up against the sixth wall. This is a toss-up. This is a very hard one, and as a result, I must abstain from a picking.
I didn't know that was an option.
It's not.
I'm stalling. I figured I'd better say that before Rock got that going. So I was just, damn it. I gotta say Dreamer Raven.
Okay, so are we gonna take that as the victory, or do I get the pick this time?
Well, you know what? Do whatever you're talking about, but if you don't want to count your pick, fine, we won't count it, but go ahead and pick anyway.
I was gonna say Dreamer Raven.
There you go. Dreamer Raven wins, haha.
No, it doesn't.
That would tie it up. That ties it up.
Tie it up.
We're going back to the chat room. We're going back to the chat room.
No.
Well, you know we're going to get
this. No.
I said yours doesn't count, but say it anyway.
I said that you suck. You don't want to let the chat room have the final vote.
Yes, the chat room can. You know I'm just bugging. Chat room, your turn. You guys break the fucking tie. Let's hear what you got to say
Lindsay's
about it.
We know Lindsay's going to vote for Taker.
Well, I think of course. Lindsay's vote as of right now doesn't count because she's only seen Taker Foley.
But it hasn't stopped her any other time.
I know, but it should have.
You can't tell them they can't vote.
Okay, guys, vote, but only the way I want you to.
I think we should break the tie by who has longer hair.
Okay, King Kitten says Taker Foley.
So Omega wins. Thanks. Taker Mankind, what we have won. Anyone else?
I got bad news for everybody. These things just get harder from here out.
Oh, we have, we're moving on to the next round after this
yep.
one. And I was just writing
I swear to God, you are adding matches as we go.
No. All right, we're tied so far in the chat room.
Are we doing a loser's bracket, too?
No.
Ustreamer 425785 just picked Raven versus Dreamer.
That's why I said
after
it's tied.
After we declared the winner.
No, we didn't declare it.
What happened to people without a name don't count?
I wasn't allowed to make that stick, so it doesn't.
I'm thinking it comes down to Lindsay. Lindsay?
Yeah, it comes down to Lindsay, and it's two people she doesn't know about. And Undertaker.
Come on, Lindsay. Make your
Lindsay.
Pick.
Fuck the trend, Lindsay. Fuck.
And she's staying quiet.
Chicken.
Oh.
Hey, we have a vote. We have a vote.
Oh, you bastard, Kyle Driver.
Tim.
Thank you, sir.
Tim, I have to relay a message. Tell Tim to go fuck himself with a cheese grater.
Oh.
Let me guess, that was Lindsay.
And she voted Taker Foley.
Lindsay's new nickname is Cheese Grater.
Whoa, her dictation's not that bad.
I don't give a damn. I'm just mad at Kyle Driver.
She's both of our heroes, King Kitten.
Yeah, she's gonna get fucked up something awful, that's all I'm gonna say. She's fucking something awful, that's all.
So, Taker and Foley. God damn it, move on. The Mace is, you know, gonna be somewhere screaming, "You bastards!"
Oh, you know he is right now. Fuck, call him.
He's at work.
Mace is usually more level-headed about his marking out.
He'll still say, "Fuck you."
Well, he'll say, "Fuck you," but he'll agree, too.
Yeah, but he'll say it in Australian.
Oh, Lord.
Fuck you, mate.
Forgive me. Oh, coming up in
I can say it in Canadian, too. Fuck you, eh? I can say it in British. Fuck you, governor.
I got news for you. No, you can't. That was absolutely fucking horrible. So take off. Fuck you.
Coming up in the great debate round 4, when I talk about getting hard, it's going to be Steve Austin versus The Rock taking on Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon.
Fuck!
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. I told you it was getting harder from here.
And Terry Funk versus Mick Foley takes on Chris Jericho versus Dean Malenko.
I quit.
That's off.
And the other
yeah,
one,
in case you haven't got it figured out, I'm not the one putting these matches together.
And after that, it's Ric Flair versus Randy Savage taking on Raven versus Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have WCW NWO versus Undertaker and Mick Foley.
I just want to say to Ustreamer 425785, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad that you could. Guys, he's a newcomer to the show from Newport News, Virginia. That's your shout out to change your nickname and make it what you want with your Twitter handle if you want. Do /Nick and then the nickname. And then we can actually see what your name is in chat room. But hey, it's always nice to see new people.
Heart
and you gotta love Cowboy Chick. She's just like, you know, Cowboy Chick, really, seriously, one of these days you're gonna have to stop beating around the bush. Just get to the point. Say what you're thinking.
No, she was just following along, you know. Mike was saying it in many different ways and now she's telling us how
I guess she sang it in Southern.
Yeah.
Hey, she's from Atlanta. She knows how to speak Southern.
Yeah, I just say fuck y'all. All right, I think it's time that we get her done. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
The moment everyone fears and dreads.
God.
All that matters is I'm sexy and I know it.
Bless your heart, Tim.
I work out.
Right, right. That tablet.
Aye.
So, workout. Who to start with? Let's start with Tim.
Fuck God. And have a blessed day.
The worst gimmick match in wrestling is?
The worst gimmick match in wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
It's an obvious one.
Yeah, but I don't want to pick the obvious ones. The worst gimmick match in wrestling is one of the best gimmicks. Or the worst gimmick in wrestling is one of the best gimmick matches. How's that?
Which is?
TNA's Lockdown, where the entire fucking pay-per-view was in a steel cage. Steel cage is great. It's a gimmick. Don't use it for the entire thing. That cheapens it, which makes it bad.
Okay.
Or any person on a pole match.
But the San Francisco 49ers match. or whatever the fuck they called big gift boxes on a pole. Fucking.
Nice cane kittens.
Nice cane kittens.
No!
Oh, don't you wait. Anyway, Jackie, do you have a secret talent? If so, what is it?
I have no talent.
And clip.
I knew you were going to do that, but I felt free to say it anyway.
Yeah, well, you learn to watch your mouth after a while, and you'll catch on.
Right. I play the clarinet. That's my secret talent.
Okay.
Well, it's got something to do with your tongue.
Oh, jeez.
He went there. Wow.
I did. I went there. I know, I'm an ass.
Too bad you will never know just how much.
Of an ass I am? Oh, trust me, I know.
No, you will just never know how much I use my tongue.
What's that?
You heard me.
I didn't hear you. I was too busy talking. So
yeah, you heard me.
No, I didn't. I was too busy talking, so you were clipped.
Anyway, next question.
Oh. I'm just trying to find out what you said, for Christ's sakes.
So, Omega.
Uh-huh.
Lindsay just said she's going to go hide. So,
yeah, so
I am interested in what this next question is going to be.
This is my first
just
one.
Just move it along.
This is her, his first one.
Oh.
This is supposed to be the legit bitch. Bitch.
What is your all-time favorite sitcom?
Sitcom?
Sitcom.
Red Dwarf.
Okay.
Yeah, that was easy.
Easy and painless.
Yeah, just
there you go. He's wiping his brow now thinking, "Ooh, I got this one in the bag." You just wait.
Tim Stein.
Oh, shit.
Tonight on Fox.
Fox.
They re-aired the pilot of Married with Children. So cast the crew of WTR as the cast of Married with Children.
Oh, my God.
I never watched that show, so I can't.
Oh, my God. Hire a writer.
Are you telling Rock to hire a writer?
Yes.
Because are you getting sick of the same old fucking question every week, too?
I'm sick of getting cast as the same fucking characters every week.
What were you cast as last week?
I don't fucking remember, but I'm known
well,
to be
why
goddamn
are you
butt now.
Why are you complaining if you can't remember? That's it. You're goddamn it, you're Bud.
I'd rather be the dog. At least the dog got laid once in a while.
You're Bud. Kelly can be, well, Kelly. Or Jackie can be Kelly.
Tell you that's the worst thing you've ever told her.
Yeah, there you go. Lindsay. Oh, geez. You know, do I want her to be Peg or Marcy Darcy?
I was expecting him to cast me as Marcy Darcy.
There you go. No, you're too Mexican to be Marcy. Because if I remember, she was subtly racist.
No, Marcy was the bleeding heart liberal.
She had subtle racism in her.
She just hated men.
You just didn't get that undercurrent. Well, you know, the actress Amanda Bierce is actually a lesbian.
Right.
I wasn't implying anything at all, Lindsay.
I could so play a clip, but
don't bother. I'm still trying to figure out Lindsay. Who's Lindsay going to be? Oh, just to fuck with three people. Lindsay can be Peg.
Think about Lindsay. You can sit at home all day and eat bonbons.
There you go. Rock would be Al. And I'll be Marcy's first husband who was smart enough to get the fuck out when the getting was
Steve.
Good. Yeah.
Wasn't he also arrested in that show?
He went on to be a park ranger and did get arrested for stealing a egg of an endangered species of bird.
Yeah, but let's face it, they all got arrested at one point in time.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So I'm done.
Okay. So, Jackie.
Fuck.
Make
Mace, get back on this show. You need this role back.
This is going to be where I'm going to choke. I always choke on these questions.
Mace listening to the archive laughing his ass off saying, fuck you, Omega.
Jackie, we're going to play a game. It's called F, Marry, Kill.
I'm sorry, it's called what?
Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Yes, Fuck, Marry, Kill. We played this game once before.
Oh, that's right.
Why did you say F? For crying out loud.
It's always the way I'm used to hearing it. Sorry, Tim. Okay?
Gosh darn it, Rock.
Fuck, Marry, Kill. Your choices are Hornswoggle, CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan.
Okay, so who's first? Punk. Punk's straight edge. I'm straight edge. So for him, I'll go marry. Daniel Bryan, he's pretty cute, so I'll go fuck, which I guess leaves poor Hornswoggle for now.
You do realize Daniel was just going to scream yes the whole time.
I was waiting.
I will see to it. That's fine. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Hornswoggle. It's nothing personal.
You're going to kill the midget? Really?
Well, you... Yeah. Yeah, you picked two good-looking wrestlers and told me I could fuck one and marry the other.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Hornswoggle. Nothing personal, strictly business.
Basically.
Lindsay goes, she'll fuck Punk, marry Bryan, and kill the midget.
Daniel Bryan would get on my fucking nerves with all the yelling and screaming of yes. This is, he's one of the ones you have him once, and then you put him out to pasture.
Anybody else find it just kind of unsettling that she speaks like she's experienced?
Men
have their little
screamer
categories. Screamers get you arrested. They, people call the police when you know you hear screaming come out of a room. CM Punk, at least I can deal with him.
All right, are we done? No! Omega's
no.
Oh, back!
To be fair, when the cops burst in,
and they're going, okay, and they're trying to figure out who's the sexual assaulter is, and he's still screaming yes.
There's gonna be a
So if Lindsay is running away afraid, I want to hear this question.
So,
can I just keep making fun of her question for the next 3 hours?
No, get it over with. It's like getting rid of a Band-Aid.
So, this question came in via email from Alan Wojcik.
Oh!
Really?
So
I'm not casting them as characters of my favorite sitcom.
Alan Wojcik wants to know, Omega, how do you take your spankings?
Oh!
Like a goddamn man. And usually for about $100 an hour.
Wow, Lindsay's rates have gone down $100 an hour.
Well, we're on a discount, so slow season.
Alan sent that in.
Is that really from Alan?
Bye, Alan.
No, it wasn't from Alan.
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
It threw you off the scent for a minute. Kinda good.
I think it'll
last, though.
You gave him a little bit of hope that he would get a question that would leave him with some dignity. That is just wrong.
That's heinous.
I'm an asshole. Thank you very much.
No, asshole is, I know that's not the answer Lindsay was wanting.
Take that up after the show.
I'm sure she'll be complaining.
Yeah, whatever. Well, there it is. That's Quick Hits, and that's another edition to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, tomorrow night, Raw. After Raw, there's a Raw post show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. www.wildtalkradio.com. Old and new listeners alike are all invited to show up after Raw to listen to them break it down.
And during the time period of 9 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, use the hashtag Michael Cole is a moron. Yes, hashtag Michael Cole is a moron.
And get it trending worldwide. We need to have that fucker global.
We are going to get this trending worldwide. Trust me, we're working on it. So help us out.
Hashtag Michael Cole moron.
Between that half hour period, because if you trend, if you talk about something for a period of time, that's when something will trend. So don't use the hashtag until that time.
Right. We want Michael Cole to have to read this on the air.
That's the goal. Just get a mention of it being trending, or just a picture of it trending.
Tell your friends and even people you don't like.
That'd be kind of awesome.
If you have Twitter, use it. And then we'll talk about it on the Roll Puff Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, tomorrow night.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Of course, Tuesday night, Alan Wojcik with Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
It's not just the coolest. It's not just the best. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Just Incredible.
No way. Just Incredible?
Yeah, Just Incredible. And Danny Doring. Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Wait, Danny Doring?
Yes.
Awesome. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show. Join the crew. As they get into some zaniness and absolute general retardishness, Wednesday night at what time? 9 Eastern?
8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, there it is, 8:30 Eastern. Yeah, Thursday night, some show called The Rock with a couple of chicks with big boobs.
Did you say The Rock?
That's what I thought. The Rack.
The Rack.
I said The Rack. Apparently it's hosted by two girls with big tits. I don't know. So.
We talk wrestling, too.
There, Jackie, that's your cue to talk about what you're going to talk about on the show.
We won't know until Wednesday night.
We don't know yet till Wednesday night.
There you go.
There's still Raw and stuff to happen, so we're, you know,
I love preparation. That's fantastic.
It's better than this show.
Yeah. Thursday night. What happens?
11 p.m. Eastern. It's The Rack with Lindsay and Jackie. And
what are you doing
too.
Thursday?
Moving. We already plugged The Rack. Tim. Come on, keep up.
No, I'm just saying, what are you doing Thursday?
Producing that show.
There you go. All right, Friday night, sweet fuck all, because it's the weekend.
But then Saturday night, it's CB Radio, where we will be presenting the 29th annual Godfather of Extreme Appreciation Night.
29th annual?
29th okay. annual Godfather of Extreme Appreciation Night.
Okay, sure. 29 years in, still going strong. CB Radio at midnight-ish, or as close as you can fucking get everybody lined up and undoped up enough
so
to get
call
on
in.
There at least before he falls asleep after saying really incomprehensible shit.
Right.
It's funny, though.
So
we're
call
talking
in,
Subway.
Call in for the 29th annual Godfather of Extreme Appreciation Night, and I'm only 27 years old, so kind of do the math there.
Figure it out yourself. Yeah, CB Radio, where every single second of every single minute of every single hour of the show is 420.
Pretty much. Tune in.
There you go. And then next week, Wrestle Talk Radio gets back to the airwaves, but we're not going to be on at our normal time.
No.
No.
Why?
There's a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules.
What?
Presented by WWE.
No way.
Yeah. Join us after the pay-per-view as we break it down and get as negative as possible and bitch about everything on the planet concerning professional wrestling and WWE. I'm kidding.
Hashtag typical Tim Stein.
Here you go. Yeah, no, tune in, check us out. We'll break down the pay-per-view. We'll tell you who won which matches, titles changing hands and stuff like that. So if you don't get a chance to update as the pay-per-view is going on, if you can't watch it, any of that nonsense, get your information from us.
Check out the archives page of Wild Talk Radio Network and check out Bashing the Books. Mace put up an episode last night, so check out that archive. Go to the front page of wildtalkradio.com. Check out Critic vs. the Fan, written by someone named Lindsay Ward. So check that out.
Seeing as you're plugging columns, there's another one up there too. Column posted earlier this week. As a matter of fact, I believe that went up on Wednesday.
Right, there's that one too, but
it's called The Slow, Painful Death of Scott Hall.
Yeah, but check out The Critic vs. the Fan.
Yes, read that one, and then read The Slow, Painful Death of Scott Hall, too.
Rock, is that the one written by M. Stein?
No, it was Ty Stein.
Ty Stein.
Ty Stein. Ty Stein wrote the one about Scott Hall.
Yeah, get ready.
Don't
Ty
be an A-O, Rock.
Follow us
don't be an a-hole.
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Hashtag Michael Colt is a moron.
There you go. That being said, we're out of here. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night right here. Same time, same place, different time. 11 o'clock Eastern, right after pay-per-view. We're out of here. Jackie, I'd like to see you in my office. Good night, everybody. Buy the shirt,
it's on the side of the site. Buy them now. Since when did you get an office?
Bought it with the island money.
No, I cleaned out the storage room.
Oh, buy us an island,
asshole. Fuck off, get your own.
WildTalkRadio.com. WildTalkRadio.com.